Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
A drunk with no hope. I knew where I was going to end, just like every other person. I knew what killed my father. I knew what killed my elder brother. And I knew my grave was already dug in the spirit. It was only a short time I knew I would be in that grave, because we all follow the same trajectory of alcoholism. And the end result was obvious. But this Jesus found me, cleaned me up, turned my life around. If He just saved me and allowed me to sit in the pew, that would have been more than enough. But then He even decided that He was still going to use me and took me from the pew to the pulpit. That's more than I can ever ask for. I want you to help me to celebrate this God who has kept me all these years, preserved me, provided for me, given me a precious family. If you don't mind, let's put those hands together and celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, that one was good enough for my former principal. Now, please, to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, help me celebrate Him. Thank you. And thank you very much. I wish I had time. I would have, maybe we have an appreciation coming up. I'll have time to sing, dance, roll on the floor, and thank Him as I truly want to do. But to every one of you, I want to say thank you. You know, you guys are the best. If I have another opportunity of being a pastor, even though I suspect in my second life, I'll be playing for Chelsea. But in case God still makes me a pastor, I still want to be your pastor. I still want to be your pastor. You are the best. You are the best. I want to thank you for all the love, text messages, postings on social media. I haven't even looked at social media today, but I know there's a lot of people have called me and said, you are all over the place. I want to thank you for all the love, all the messages, all the gifts. I mean, this morning I woke up, I was rushing somewhere for a 7 o'clock appointment, and then somebody in the house told me that something has gone bad in the house. I said, okay, so I'm going to spend money again. I wanted to show me what was bad. And we opened the door, and I saw about 30-something coppers. All of them with cake, with a trumpeter, and with all kinds of things. That was how my day started, you know. And it's been from one... Let's put our hands together for those wonderful coppers. You know, and they prayed and prayed and prayed for me. I mean, it's just been from, you know, and I'll be very honest with you. It's just one day in the life of every man that, you know, you have that privilege of people telling you how much they love you and how much they really, really, how much you've been to them, how much you've touched their lives. And I've gotten calls from everywhere, from across the world. I want to say thank you for your love, for your sacrifice, for your giving. Last Sunday was not appreciation. Last Sunday was a disruption. But as disrupting as it was, you know, you gave so generously. And I'll talk more about that on Sunday. I want to say thank you for everything. God bless you. God honor you. As you have done for me much more, let men do for you. And let God also do for you. Let me say prophetically, the least, your starting point in life is my age today. I don't care what's the altar speaking in your family. I don't care whatever is happening around where you came from. But your starting point, that's the least you will ever live. The least you can ever live is my age today. you will live longer and even longer than I lived. God will preserve your life, and you will see your children's children to the third generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together once again. Amen. Okay, I'm supposed to anoint you tonight, but I'm also looking at my time. Do I leave it for the grand finale tomorrow? You know, for many reasons, I feel like I should move it. I'm not in the best of moods today. I have not been. In fact, for the last 5 days, some photographer in church has been wrestling with me to do photo shoots. And I said to her, I said, you need a particular mood to do photo shoots. I don't have that mood. I don't. And I said to her, I said, the photos will not look good. My mood will reflect in the photos. The young girl did, I mean, she gathered her, she's one of the best photographers in the city. Gathered her entire crew. They will wait from morning till night. I tell them, I'm coming. I'm coming. And I tell them, I'm not coming again. I felt so sorry for her. But I knew I wasn't in the mood for any such. So, can I beg you to move this into tomorrow? I'm ready. I have my Bible with me, but I just feel, let's move it to tomorrow. I'll be in a better mood tomorrow, and there will be no birthday distraction. I want to minister to you. I really want to minister to you. Is that okay? Yes, I beg you, allow me to do this tomorrow. You know, I want it to flow from a place of joy. Joy is a weapon in the realm of the spirit. Joy is a weapon in the realm of the spirit, and I want it to flow from a place of joy. Pastor, you're not happy today. I'm happy. But I know what I'm talking about. I'll be in a better mood tomorrow. Amen? So please, I beg you in God's name, allow me. Let's allow our guest speaker to minister to us today. Bless us, speak to us. Tomorrow, I will take over, and I will do what I have to do before he comes up to wrap up the program tomorrow. Is that okay? Will you forgive me? Once again, thank you for all the love, and thank you for all your beautiful prayers for me. Please, can we put our hands together for ourselves? For the last time. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let me, at this point, let's go straight to the business of the day. Yesterday, it took us back to the school. And, you know, all my life, I've been teaching spelling. But I didn't know the meaning of spelling. It was yesterday I heard that an Englishman intentionally used that word spell, ing, and that every time you are doing that, he's casting a spell on you and you didn't know. Come on, is anybody with me? Yes, I mean, you know, in fact, there was a way, Pastor Bidemi Obioma put it. He said, it's not like the things he's talking about we don't know, but we have never even thought about them before. That they are not strange things, but they are things we know, but we didn't know. So, you know, he just made it. I don't know if you understand me. Yeah. Just made it. In fact, Mr. Ben put it in a particular way. He said, this is how he described it. He said, it's like you're just walking outside and discover you're not wearing clothes. He said, that's how he felt when the guy started ministering. He says, you just walk out and then you just go and not wear shirts. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. You know, it was simple, but very deep, very profound, very thought-provoking, and in a way, it was annoying. It was also annoying because it's making it look like, so how come I didn't think about this small thing that this guy is talking about? It looks small, but I didn't know about it. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. So it was so profound, so profound. And we are so honored to have him in this man-to-man conference. Let me say this to you guys. I've come a long way in ministry. I started ministry in Oshodi to Mile 2. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? That's where I started ministry from. So there's nothing that moves me any longer in life. I started ministry from Oshodi to my two, not because I'm going anywhere, but because I wait for those people selling their drugs to finish selling. You know those people that market drugs? We normally struggle for time, for space. I said, okay, how many of you are selling today? Say two of you. I'm giving you 5 minutes because I have my own drug to sell. We now agree on the time. I'm not kidding you. We now agree. I said, okay, everybody, 5 minutes. So five minutes, you finish. I want to sell my own drug. It's when it's time for my drug, and I now bring out Bible, and I realize my own drug is different from that. I was minister to Maltu. Maltu, I enter another bus. I return back to Oshodi. When I finish for the day, I go home. My house was in Papa Jao, Mushi. So it's not far away from Oshodi. I just enter one bus and I'm home. Come on, is anybody hearing me? That's where we started ministry from. So I'm not looking for crowd. If, see this one, is even too much crowd here for me. If there are 5 people here, I will preach like I have 5,000 people here. So I'm not bothered. But you that came, let the people who didn't come see the result in your life. Is anybody hearing me? Let them know that there's something this guy contacted, though. There's something this woman contacted. Something has changed. It's not the same person I know. I beg you, take advantage of this meeting. Don't be bothered about crowd. Enjoy every moment. Take your notes. But more than taking your notes, leave this conference with 5 things I must do. Is anybody hearing me? 5 things I must stop doing because of what you had in this conference. Your life will never be the same again in the mighty name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it is therefore with Jesus' joy, I want to ask you to receive again for a second night in Man-to-Man Conference 2024. Dr. John Obidi. House on the Rock. Now wait. It's because we didn't charge gate fee for this program. This man didn't pay gate fee to listen to Ramon. Jokes apart, they pay gate fee to listen to this man. But because we didn't charge gate fee, I say, make we receive him with Jesus' joy. You cannot clap. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please, can we specially receive this man?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's get seated now. Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy birthday, Reverend Ed. So good to be back up here. Reverend Ed has showed me so much kindness, so much hospitality, and I was just so glad to know that today is actually his birthday, and I'm in the same city with him to celebrate that with him. I'm with everybody here today. So please appreciate him one more time. Happy birthday. All right. So today I have something planned for you. But before I get into that, there's something I meant to start with yesterday that I will just start with today. Yeah. Reverend Ed said something that normally you pay gate fee to listen to me. Yeah. That's real. If you're going to attend any of my classes or workshops in person in Lagos, it's at least 150,000 naira per person, and it's just one day. Yeah? This is 3 days free of charge to you, courtesy of your father here. I appreciate him again. All right? That's one. Two. Even if you were to come to one of my workshops, when we speak at such events, you know, one is very careful about the extent to which one can reveal. Yeah, but in a gathering like this, under the grace of Reverend Ed, I tend to say more than I initially planned to. So you are getting a bumper package here today. Another round of applause for him. And there's one more thing I would announce, but I want to let you know that even though it's coming free of charge to you, there's something that is going to be demanded of you as well in exchange. Yeah? So who much is given, much is expected. Okay. What do we expect from you? It's not free. You are going to pay. Yes? And the payment is that these things are working, they are going to work. And when they do, don't just go and jubilate that you have blown. You must come back and pay, not tithe. Tithe is 10%. Nobody wants your tithe. That one is separate, not 10%, no. Yeah? You will pay what this was worth to you. Okay? So, two ways. You have to come here, find a way to contribute to what is going on here in this house. You enjoy what's going on here? You enjoy the choir? You enjoy the excellence that's happening here? It costs money, oh. Soup way sweet. It's in our money kilam. Yeah? So, you come back here, find a way to contribute. If you want to contribute with your skills, if you want to contribute with your time, the one I'm interested in, Shah, is your money. Contribute. It's your money. And that is what we demand of you. I'm not asking. I'm demanding because I'm not a thief. I'm giving you value and I will demand value back. Yes? So what we are demanding is that you come and contribute massively, not 10%. Come and contribute massively to the work of God going on here. Amen? Amen. All right. So one thing, these 3 days, I really want to, I mean, from yesterday, I just realized that a lot of us got a lot of value from what I would call maybe a foundational class, yeah? These are things I teach on my YouTube channel, but I want to focus more on foundations and concepts to give us the building blocks of what it takes to earn money in this new economy. So I'm not going to go deeply into practical. What I'm going to do, which I didn't announce earlier, which is why I said you must give us back something, yeah? What I'm going to do is, there's this quarterly virtual program that I have. It's called Online Business Weekend, where we teach you how to build an online business and use that to make your first million within 3 months. Over 1,000 people took it at the last cohort that I launched, and it is not free of charge. It's on my website, but tomorrow I will arrange for a way for you all to have access to the recordings for free. Would you like that? Yeah, because that training took 3 days, the whole of 3 days. It's a lot. I can't go into everything here. So I'm going to give you guys a recording so that in your leisure, you can go through it step by step. So we can use the time here the best way we can, okay? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure, sir. But remember the deal, oh? Yes. Even though I say so myself, I'm one of the best that can ever teach you in this world when it comes to making money on the internet. Yeah? So it's going to work. But it's coming to you for free, but you must give us something back, okay? All right, let's get into it. Thank you so much, Reverend Ed. Thank you. Always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure. Okay. Let me start this with something from the book of Genesis. Can someone please, projector guys, please open the book of Genesis, that part specifically where Adam was being cursed. I want to kick off from there. Where he said, because of you, the ground will, that's the way it was put. I want it displayed there so we can all read it. Through the toil of your sweat of your brow will the ground produce for you, something like that. Thank you very much. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I had commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Okay, now let me see the next verse. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Okay, next. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Yeah, this is what I was looking for. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Interesting verse. Now, in my study of the Bible, in my study of life, in my study of the world, in my study of human beings, in my study of history, I've realized that much like we categorized people yesterday between the rainmakers and the villagers, there are two very distinct sets of people in this world. One set of people still suffer the curse that was placed on Adam. The other set of people look at that verse and say, this does not apply to me. Understand? Please put it up again, the last part. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it, just let's focus on in the sweat of thy face, all right? I was talking to a friend some time ago. He's into agriculture. And he was just talking about what they do. And he said, when he was explaining the value chain of agriculture, and he said, do you know that the farther you are from the soil, the more money you make? Think about that. And because my mind is trained to think in metaphors, I'll hear one thing and I'm thinking, where else in life does this apply? He said, the farther you are from the soil, the more money you make. And I had a mind explosion. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is life. And so you realize that people that make the most money in IT don't know much about IT. Look at agriculture. Who makes the least amount of money? It is the guy that is an African farmer. Everybody else in that value chain makes money except the actual farmer. The transporter makes money. The guy that does the processing, even the customs guys, everybody else, the exporter, the packager, you know, the guy that does the preservation, everybody else makes money. So when you look at the craft that you have chosen, how close to the ground are you? All right, look at the curse of Adam. To collect money from that ground, you will sweat. So we don't touch the ground. Even though other people will. We don't touch the ground. What do? Let me lighten up the mood with a story I like to, kind of a riddle, slash story, slash joke, and I would like us all to get involved, all right? Now, let us all do a thinking exercise. A thinking exercise. Just imagine, humor me. Imagine you were a billionaire, right? But not today, not in this present time. Let's offset it by 20 to 30 years. All right? In 20, 30 years' time, you've accomplished everything you set out to accomplish. You've been blessed beyond measure. You're a billionaire. You have kids. They've gone to the best schools. You've traveled the world. You've built houses. You've accomplished everything you wanted. Material goods, you have them. Houses, mansions. As a matter of fact, at this time of your life, you're not trying to make more money, right? All you're thinking about is your contributions to society, to the world, your charitable contributions. That's where your mind is at right now. In your network, all your friends are also billionaires, or at least millionaires. Not Naira, yeah? That's what your life is like. But there is one thing that keeps you up at night. There's only one problem you have. It's not your health. You're fine. Everything is good. You have money to buy anything. One thing gives you trouble. You can't sleep until that riddle is solved. And what is that? Your children. You're thinking about these kids like, man, when I was growing up, I suffered, though. I suffered to build my life from scratch without an inheritance. Self-made, I built from scratch, built my life, built my wealth, and here I am. I don't know if these kids can hold their own. When I pass away, can they be strong enough to not waste everything I've worked for? Can they continue on this legacy or find their own but do something the world will be proud of? And that's where your mind is at. But then one morning, you're on the balcony of one of your mansions, maybe in the south of France or Monaco, right? And you're there having a lovely breakfast with your wife or your husband, and you're just talking, eating, having a good time, reminiscing on old days. And while you're in that lovely mood, in comes your firstborn, who just turned, let's say, 21, all right? Let's say your first son is a guy and he just comes in, boom. Hey, dad. Hey, mom. Guess what? And you're like, what is it? And he says, dad, mom, I finally figured out what I want to do with my life. And you're like, ah, oh, thank God. My enemies will not rejoice. Thank God, this one. I thought you were going to be useless. You have figured it out. Okay, tell us more. All right, dad. So, you know, I was out vacationing out in, say, Bangkok, Thailand. And while I was backpacking with my friends, you know, I took the family jet out there on vacation just to go check out what's happening. And I went out in the forest. And while I was in the forest, dad, I saw these beautiful butterflies, dad. Dad, these butterflies are immaculate. You got to see them, dad. They're beautiful. I took pictures of these butterflies, dad. Come look at them, dad. Dad, look at this picture of these butterflies. Aren't they gorgeous? And you're looking at it, boy, you're like, can you get to the point? Because I don't know where you are going with this. Like, I was like, dad, look at these butterflies. Aren't they beautiful? Well, I finally figured out, dad, that while I was out there in the jungle, I figured out that I had a passion for photography. And I want to spend the rest of my life taking pictures of these beautiful butterflies, dad. And I need you to support me, dad. What would you say? As an African man, eh? Lovely. All right. Africans always have a dramatic response to this question. So you go for matam. Okay, rewind back to the breakfast table. All right, you're at the breakfast table, having fun, having breakfast with your wife, you're gisting, having conversation, and your son comes in. Hey, dad. Hey, mom. I finally figured out what I want to do with my life. And you're like, oh, really? Tell us about it. Dad, while I was out there in Bangkok, I figured out that I have a passion for photography. Photography, you say? Tell us more. All right, 1 second. Let me put up the slides on the screen. Hey. And it puts up the slides. So, dad, last time I checked, we had the big three cameras in the world. Nikon, maybe Fujitsu, and Kodak, right? But these three camera manufacturers, they are using an outdated type of lens. And this lens is going to go out of date by 2025. There's a new kind of lens that is digital. And I figured out that somebody in Thailand has actually created it, and we were able to secure the patents. Don't worry, my pocket money was about $100,000. I bought the patents, right? So I've acquired the patents to this new lens technology. Now we can make money in two ways. We're either going to go into full-scale production of these lenses, and we are going to have exclusive distributorships with these big three camera manufacturers, and we're going to be producing these lenses for them. If we don't want to produce the lenses, we can simply rent out the patent to the camera manufacturers, and we can make money for life. I don't really need that much money. I can raise the initial funding round from my friends, but I thought you would like to have a look at this and see what you can do. What would you say? I'm sure you would tell your wife, you see this one? It resembles me. You see, like, we get the same nose, we get the same brain we get. He takes it from me, right? Okay. Everybody loves that story. But why is it that sometimes in Nigeria, right, we don't realize that we are those two children? Why is it that sometimes we pick the lowest common denominator? The lowest. So when you hear, you see, a poor man's child is passionate about hair. They open a salon. I'm sorry, you. I told you yesterday that I will hurt you small. Just small. But it's because I love you. Yeah? When a rich man's child is passionate about hair, what do? They look at the people that are touching the ground and find what they can sell to them. They don't touch hair. You say, oh, I see you guys are passionate about hair. I'll sell you the hair products. I'll sell you the machines. I'll manufacture them. They'll go to China, find the prototypes, start exporting. All right? See that photography idea? Same idea. Different expressions. One of them, I'm sorry, oh, hey. I'm always very careful talking about this because I'm usually being photographed when I say it. Let me be finding a picture. But one person goes to the ground and touches the camera. The other person, same passion, doesn't touch the ground, but watching everybody that is touching the ground. Says, okay, I'll supply you lenses, I'll supply you the films, whatever you all need. And who makes the most money? The person that will refuse to touch the ground. And so look at whatever it is that you're doing. What are the, like, people always ask me, like, on social media, like, which skill can I learn? Which business can I go into? That is most, it's not about the business. There are poor people in every industry. There are rich people in every industry. It's about what you see. That's why God was always telling Abraham, what do you see? What do you see? As far as the eyes can see. This is still man to man, yeah? And fathers, one of the best things you can do for your children is to teach them how to see. How to see. And two kids are standing, looking at the same thing. They're seeing two different things. Something happened while I was in Dubai. This friend of mine who is so advanced in wisdom, in reasoning. I call him the modern day James Bond because he knows something about everything. He's from Morocco. So one day we were hanging out in a private club. And in that club, there's when you walk in, there is a big screen, right? It's always very quiet, people having their coffee at one corner and having conversations. There's a big screen, and the only thing on that screen is this station called Bloomberg, right? Now it's on mute, but you can see the Bloomberg screen there, and there are price tickers for the various commodities, gold, silver, oil, and so on. And while we're sitting there talking, I was looking at the screen, and when I'm around such people, I don't have any shame. I ask all the questions that I have in my heart. So I told him that, you know what, to be very honest, when I look at these price tickers on the screen, I can't make much out of it. They look good, but I can't really interpret what is going on meaningfully and take any action. So what do you see from the screen? And he just put down his coffee and he looked up. He says, well, from what I can see, someone has figured out a way to smuggle wheat out of Russia. And I'm like, how did you make that? Now, all that was showing on the screen was a chart of the price of wheat. The global price of wheat. I'm like, how did you make that out from just these funny lines on the screen? It says, well, it goes back to demand and supply, right? First of all, there is a world embargo on Russia. This was in 2022 or so, when the war in Ukraine was just new and the whole world was just, you know, banning exports out of Russia. So it said, well, Russia is one of the world's largest exporters of wheat. And right now, Russia cannot export their wheat. And because the largest exporter, Russia, can't export, the price of wheat has gone up around the world. Demand and supply. So normally, at this time, the price of the wheat should go up because Russia is locked down. But from this chart, the price of wheat is coming down despite the embargo on Russia. So where is it coming from? Definitely Russia. And he was right. Later found out there was some way they were doing it, but wheat was coming out from Russia into the war, and that's why the price was still coming down. I was like, wow, interesting. That's why I say one of the biggest gifts you can give your children is teaching them how to see. Right? You see, this world in so many ways operates like a Ponzi scheme. Right? Like a Ponzi scheme. You see a lot of people there at the bottom of the pyramid who are hustling, and the world needs laborers. But you will not be one of them. The world needs laborers. All right? I can't explain why, but that's just the way it is. But when you see the way the world system is, you have to look at it and say, okay, I get it now. The farther you are from the soil, the more money you make. Okay, so now you understand that. Thank you. Now you understand that, all right? Let's go back into 1 minute. All right, so yesterday we talked about selling, all right? We talked about value. Let's go back to our foundations. How many of you have seen Mr. Bean? That popular comedy, right? Mr. Bean, awesome, all right? Do you remember what you saw at the beginning of every episode of Mr. Bean? All right? Do you remember that beginning? What happened was that you would see how Mr. Bean would fall from the sky and land on the ground. Do you remember? I know you were focusing on the most of the comedy, but there's a lot of information in that first opening scene of every episode. He lands on the sky, boom! Then he gets up looking confused, right? And he starts to grope around, and then the episode begins. Why is that? It is assumed that Mr. Bean is not human like us. He fell from the sky. Maybe he's an alien or an angel, whatever he is, but he did not grow up like us and learn the ways of human beings, which is why in his episodes he can't talk. Yeah? And he acts like a child because he doesn't know how to be human, even though he's an adult. He's trying to learn stuff and he acts like a baby, and that makes the comedy. Yeah? So, imagine if, like Mr. Bean, you landed on Earth as an adult on this strange planet. And one of the first things that you felt when you landed here was hunger. Though you don't know what hunger really means, but you feel funny, like, what is this thing? And then your body's getting weaker. And you find a way to tell somebody, I don't know what I feel, my body's getting weaker. And it says, oh, that is called hunger. You are hungry. And, you know, if you don't fix that, you're going to die. I don't want to die, so what do I do? Well, you need to get food. What is food? Ah, newcomer. All right. Food is something, is some biochemical thing that you put into your body to give you energy and keep you alive. Okay, how do I get it? Yeah, just go to the supermarket over there. They could sell you some. You know, you need to go there and buy. Buy? What is buy? Oh, all right, you have to go over there and hand them money, and then they will give you this food. Money. What is money? Man, do I have to explain everything? Okay, money. Sometimes it comes as paper, sometimes it comes as coins. And depending on the picture drawn on that paper, that determines the value and how much food you can buy with that money. Okay, how do I get this money? Well, money typically, you know, just go to the bank and withdraw some money. Bank. So I can just go to the bank and take it? No, that's against the rules. It's called bank robbery. And you'll go to jail. Okay, so how do I get money? All right, here's how you get money. The only money that can ever enter your pocket is the money that is first in somebody else's pocket. Oh, so can I just go to his pocket and take it? No. That's against the rules. That's called stealing. You'll go to jail. You have to get it from his pocket with his consent. Okay, this is getting clearer. Can I just then ask him politely to give it to me? Well, here on Earth, we call that begging. Sometimes it works, but it's not guaranteed. And you're just sitting there confused and you're wondering. And you tell him, you have to find a way to convince this man to give you the money that you want. And the person gets tired and leaves. So you're just there thinking. And while you're thinking, you're observing these human beings. And you see a store with a man standing there selling water. And this gentleman needs some water. And he walks over to this store, hands them some money, and gets water and walks away. And you're like, oh, I see. He was willing to give up his money for something else that he wanted. I wonder if I go and start selling water as well, would I be able to make that happen as well? And you figure out a way, you get your own stand, and you're selling water. And you're standing there, and before you know it, this man comes to you willingly, offers you up money for a bottle of water, and you're excited. You've made money for the first time in your life. This is amazing. But while you're still jubilating, maybe you sold this bottle of water for 50 naira. You're jubilating, and then you see some other man over there with the same bottle of water you just sold for 50 naira, but that man sells it for 200 naira. And that makes you think, like, this is confusing. This water costs 50 naira, right? Based on how people at the bottom of the pyramid, right? People that go to the ground, based on how they are taught to think. In order to make more money, you must sell more water, yeah? In order to make more money, you must sell more water. But not so with those at the top of the pyramid. Those at the top of the pyramid understand something, that there are two dualities when it comes to money. Two dualities. One, money is real, and also money is not real. I will explain. Money is real. Money is necessary. On another hand, money is not real. It's made up. I will explain. So you're wondering, why is it that this guy, instead of selling four bottles of water to make that 200 naira, he sold the same one bottle and got more money? Why? And you observe him and you begin to see that, oh, this guy is a magician. He's a rainmaker. He was able to play a trick on your mind legally to make you believe that his own water costs was worth more. And so what he has done, he has understood that money is not simply value on the lowest level. Those that till the ground that has been cursed, they believe that money is equal to value. And it is true for them. But the initiated have learned a certain magic, a certain sorcery, if you will, which is that you don't have to equate money to value. You equate money to the perception of value. That is why they say perception is reality. I don't have to, look, on the lowest level, if I want to make you buy this pen, all right? I can say this pen is 100 naira, yeah? Normally, I should sell 10 of this pen to make 1,000 naira, correct? But when you understand the sorcery, you learn that, no, I don't have to. All I have to do is to increase or alter how you see this pen. And so the study of money is simply the study of how the target market, the masses, perceive it. So they've stopped trying to break their backs producing more. They instead take the shortcut and go straight into your mind and alter how you see the same thing. How many of you are old enough? Of course, I can see most of us here are old enough to remember when it was still legal to run cigarette ads on TV in Nigeria. See, when I was a boy, there was this ad on TV. You remember the Marlboro Man? Yes. Oh my goodness. That ad hacked my brain. That man was so cool. He wore a cowboy hat. He wore white. And he looked so cool with a horse. And when he smoked that thing, I wanted to be like him. It's very laughable now. But in my child brain at that time, as I saw the ad, it makes sense now why they ban such things. Because humans are impressionable. If there was a way I could steal my father's money to buy Marlboro to smoke at age 7, no, I didn't know anything. I wanted to just be like him. If there was a way I could steal my father's money to go to Aboki shop to buy cigar, because we grew up in Lagos, Surulere, that time, we could just go to any kiosk and buy cigarettes. And even if you are a minor, they'll sell to you. It's Nigeria, you know. I would have bought. I was only afraid of my father's belt. That was the only thing that stopped me from. If there was a way I could get away with it, if you could assure me that I would get away with it, I would have done it. My father was like a hawk. You cannot outwit him. That's what kept me until I matured and I never touched it. But in that moment, if there was a, there was another one, remember Rothmans that time? There was this ad they did. Remember Cool Blue? There was this Lighthouse Family, a lovely band that time that sang the soundtrack. That they were on a yacht on the Cool Blue Seas. Thank you, Sam Morris. Thank you, Sam Morris. Thank you, that was it. It looked so luxurious. Man, I wanted those brands. And it didn't matter how much for a price tag they put on that cigarette, I would have bought. Why? They have hacked the way I see it. How many of you remember all those ads back then? Joy Girl. Remember Joy Girl? How many people bought Joy soap because they wanted to be as beautiful as Joy Girl? Remember Delta soap? All right. Do you remember the soap operas we used to watch when we were kids? Do you know why they are called soap operas? I'll tell you. They were sponsored by soap companies. Google it. Google it. So what had happened was, this soap, and when I say soap, let's mix up soap, detergent, and all those household goods, yeah? These companies wanted to sell more of their products. And they looked and saw that the decision makers in the households regarding these particular products were not men, but the women. The housewives, the moms, they were the ones who decided the toothpaste we would use, the detergents, and all that. So, if you can hack the minds of those women, the decision makers, you could decide what that household would use. And usually, when we as children grow up and start our own homes, we follow the things that we took from our parents' house. So usually the soap, the toothpaste, and all the things that you used when growing up are the ones you take to your own home. So they did. So what they did was, let us start sponsoring and creating movies that apply to the fantasies of women. So remember very carefully the storylines of those soap operas. They were the things that women loved to see because they were the target market. And that was how we have soap operas. If you remember women, they could not, remember all those Mexican soap operas, all that we would sit and would watch back in the 90s. We would watch, and then at the break, what was the advert? Soap. The perception of value. And back then, remember that, you know, how many of you remember elephants? Elephant was always second to what? I didn't say it, you said it. Why? Was it objectively true? But they hacked our minds to believe it. Pepsi was always second to? This one is going to be a bit more niche. But those of us that used to use all these pens in primary school, maybe especially in Lagos, there was Bic and Eleganza. The big boys used Bic. The smaller boys used Eleganza. Where did we get that from? Right? Okay. Let me tell you another story. There was a time in America, and everything I'm saying, just Google it, it's out there. All right? It's objectively true. There's one time, you know, in America where it was unfashionable for women to smoke cigarettes. I mean, of course, some women still did it, but it was just unladylike. So very few, only the boldest of women ever smoked cigarettes. But the general knowledge in America was that women don't smoke. They never did. The few that ever did it indoors and never outdoors, right? However, smoking amongst the men was a culture in America. So if you watch movies from the 60s and 70s, you see people smoking in all kinds of places. In an office, someone just, I mean, today you just come to an office and smoke. Like, it's, there's got to be a section for that, yeah? But if you watch movies from that era, you and I can be in a restaurant, and we're just talking, and I just bring a cigarette and just start smoking. And everybody is just fine with it, because that was the culture of the time. Everybody smoked. Sometimes there are some things that will be wrong with you. You go to your doctor will be like, smoke a couple of cigarettes. Yes, because at the time people didn't know that cigarettes could cause cancer. Everybody smoked. Anyway, I told you guys yesterday that multinationals are very aggressive about growth. And they're like, man, we've sold cigarettes to all the men that are going to buy cigarettes. What are these women doing? How do we get the women to start smoking? And they made a plan. So what they did was to tap into the feminist movement. And they said, look, these men don't want you to smoke. They are trampling on your rights. So what they did was to organize some kind of a ball. A ball is a kind of a party, right? And the dress code was green. So they called the female influencers of the time, celebrities of the time, to dress up in the official dress code of the ball in public and ask them to smoke cigarettes out there in public, knowing that it will cause outrage. That was how America was then. It would cause outrage. And they did it. So when they were smoking, right there on the streets, they were being photographed, yeah? Society was outraged. What is happening? Women are smoking on the streets. And they're smoking cigarettes. And they said, no, they're not cigarettes. They are torches of freedom. And that was the campaign. Everybody, the idea stuck. Torches of freedom. And everybody started smoking. And that's how they got women in America to start smoking. Tough, you know, but at that time, I guess only men were affected by cancer. So equality had its downsides there because women now started getting the downsides. It was much later that the links between smoking and cancer were made. But what did they do? And of course, they made money. It's all about money. But they had to just change. It's not just a cigarette. By smoking a cigarette, you are making a statement that you cannot be oppressed. You are free. And they smile to the bank. So money, they've understood, is not just about the value. It is about the perception of value. The face value to a regular smoker is what? Maybe relief or some kind of euphoric feeling, right? But there's a price on that feeling, right? I don't know how much cigarettes go for. Let's assume that feeling is worth, say, $20 a cigarette. But what price can you put on freedom? When you call it torches of freedom, and you think about all the oppression, all the things you've been restricted from doing, and like, this is my free, you will pay $1,000 for just one cigarette because it represents something else in your hands. The perception of value. Now, I'm saying about how it has been adopted in a negative way, so you can start to see the sorcery, the mind sorcery that has made this world, and you can find a way to apply it in your own business, in your own life, right? So, at the highest level, we understand that money is not just about value. Money is about the perception of value. And that leads me to another thing, all right? We say that God shall bless what? The work of our hands. Amen. But the wealthiest people in the world insist on being blessed for the product of their thinking. All right? The poorest people want to be blessed for the work of their hands. They're still on the ground. The wealthiest people are blessed, are prospered by the product of their thinking. So you are blessed more for what, how you think, what you are able to create, all right? The wealthiest people in the world try as much as possible to model God as described in the Old Testament. So when it says, God says, let there be light, and God created Adam and Eve, God created the garden, God created the earth and the heavens, the wealthiest people create. We are always, always creating, all right? So let's put a bookmark there where we say money is about the perception of value. Let me ask you a question, right? When you see Mark Zuckerberg post on Facebook, and there's a lovely picture of Mark Zuckerberg with his wife, maybe their child, and their dog, what do you see in that picture? You see, the way a rich man sees social media is very different from how a poor man sees social media. Yeah? See, they have studied human beings. They've understood humans. They figured us out. All right? These guys know us more than we know ourselves. They know that there are deep human needs. Every human being wants to be admired. Every human being wants to be acknowledged, wants to be praised. And they've understood the connection between our dopamine receptors in our brain and the amount of likes and comments we get. So when we say share, we are going to share and put out content there for free. Not for a price, we'll do it for free. Just so we can get paid in likes, so we can feel good. So when Mark Zuckerberg is posting, he's doing something else very differently. Poor man will say, oh, Mark Zuckerberg is posting his family. But those who see can see what he is doing. Can you imagine what such a post does to Facebook's share price in the stock market? You are pointing up, sir. Why up? You are very correct. But why up? Why is it going up? Thank you. He said because of perception. What do they perceive there? Stability. He's a family man. Have you noticed that most, I don't know if all, but most US presidents have had to be a certain way, married. If you have kids, it's a bonus, and the kids have to be a certain way. Right? So when he posts like that, what is that? Perception. Ah. So you think that when he's posting, he's doing it the same way you are doing your own? No. He has several layers of vetting because he answers to shareholders. They don't do it the way poor men do it. You know, when a woman breaks up today, it's very easy to know. Very easy. She'll go on Facebook. Don't let any man tell you you're what. Don't. You will just know something is happening inside. But something, all is not well. Or they post, I'm loving the woman I'm becoming. Now you think you're slick, but people are watching. Oh, they know. They know. Or they start putting quotes, motivational quotes. You see, in this life, you know, when a Nigerian starts with, you see, in this life, just pull a chair, it's going to be a long conversation. I said yesterday, a man that is in honor, but knoweth not, is like the beasts that perish. You know, there was this interview that Jeff Bezos was giving at one big conference in the US. It was being streamed live and we're all watching. This was way before his divorce. And he was talking, and the interviewer asked him a question. I can't remember the guy's name, the interviewer, but I can remember his face, but not his name. And he asked Jeff Bezos, so tell us about your wife, how you met your wife, and da 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 da. And he had a weird expression on his face. And he said a couple of words, but then he said that, I'd like to talk about my parents. My parents, and those who could see, guessed that something was up and took a position on Amazon stock. Because you could see, I mean, he didn't say anything bad about his wife, but there was a reluctance to answer the question, and then it was too hasty and he switched. Some people just said, ah, okay. I know they play the stock market like it's betting. They bet on it. So they shorted. Some people just shorted and waited. And then much later, we now heard about the divorce. And even when the divorce happened, you saw how it was managed. Shareholders, oh. They released a joint statement, and it read like a lovely press release to soften the impact of that news on Amazon shareholders. So the stock would not fall. But you see, poor man, hey, and see, they know you have a lot to say, so all these podcasts will now invite you. They know you have a lot to say, they all invite you. Hey, tell us, what do you? Tell us. You start feeling empathy, you start talking more. Hey, here is one, oh. And you just go. It's not as if what is doing you is not what is doing them, oh. But it's a different constitution. It's a different way. You couldn't tell that a divorce was coming because a lot was at stake. And even when it came, everybody tried to manage the impact that it would have. Why? Is it that when they divorce, Amazon they become a less valuable company? It will still be working, but it's not about what is real. It's about what is the perception. What did God tell Samuel when he was leaving the house of Jesse? He said, look, man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. But you see, we're in the kingdom of man. What does man look at? The outward appearance. So take care of perception. Perception is reality here. All right? So as you think about this, start to imagine the work that you do, because the same amount of work that you do, somebody else gets paid way more for the same thing. So how do you alter perceptions? Positively this time. I've talked about many different cases, all right? But how do you alter perceptions positively? Because if you can alter perceptions positively, you can largely increase the amount of money you get paid for the same thing. So years ago, when I was just done with school, I was in Final University. I was one of the best programmers then. This was in 2009. And then I was still confused because I didn't know what I wanted to do after school. You know, and I looked into my mates. We all wanted to leave school and work as programmers somewhere. But I was like, even though I was still very young, I was like, I don't think I want to leave with my plenty sense. I'll go and bottle up all my sense in one cubicle and be a programmer. Like, man, I grew up seeing a lot of poverty. I grew up seeing a lot of poverty. Like, my father sacrificed to ensure that I was well educated. And when I look at the sacrifice that he put in, what he went through, I said to myself, if I'm going to play this game of life, it's got to be big. It won't be for a 300K a month job, which was the prize at the time. If I'm going to play this game of life in a way that I would say it's worth it, no, I'll figure it out. One naira I no get to at the time, but I was thinking that way. And I started thinking, people that really make the most amount of money in this world, what is different about them? And I was studying. And while I was studying them, I noticed one thing they all had in common. Each one of them was comfortable with attention. Every single one of them was comfortable with public scrutiny. At the time, I was the shyest person in the world. You won't believe it now, but I was the shyest person in the world. You know when they say that the fear of death in some people is higher than the fear of public speaking? Oh, that was me. I'd rather die than no. But when I learned this, I said, okay, that's what it's going to take. I'm going for it. Because when you are able to get in front of people and communicate your ideas with confidence, certainty, clarity, they trust you more. If there are two of you, it doesn't make any sense because the quieter one might actually be more valuable in real life, yes? But that's not how the kingdom of man works. It is the person that appears more confident. Unfortunately, some people abuse it too. Yeah, it's often abused. However, the rule is that the person that looks the most confident and the least likely to shrink in the face of attention, that must be the capable one. So I said, okay, I'm going to learn how to speak. And so I used to go to YouTube every day. There was this speaker I liked listening to. His name is Brian Tracy, right? And I would watch all his videos, and I used to just wish I could speak as intelligently as Brian Tracy all those years ago. And then I think in 2013, my alma mater, Benson Idahosa University, was inviting Brian Tracy to Benin City for an event. And I was so happy that this Brian Tracy that I was admiring was going to be in town, of all places, Benin City, where I was. But I didn't have money to attend. But then the president of the university, Bishop Febi Idahosa, he knew me. I was good at programming. I was entering social media here and there. I was at home one day. I was just, on the day of the event, I was just at home. I was sulking. I was like, ah, I can't afford to be at Brian Tracy's event now that he's in Nigeria, in Benin of all places. Usually it's Lagos. He's in Benin and I cannot be there. And then I saw on my phone, Bishop Febi Idahosa sent me a message and said, hey, hello, John Obidi. I'm sorry. You know, I know you must be busy right now. I don't mean to barge in on your schedule, you know, but sir, why do you assume I'm so busy? I don't get work. I don't know. I don't get work. So I don't know if you are free. Can you come by and help us do some live tweeting of the event? Hey, that was the happiest day of my life. I jumped out of bed, packed my laptop, entered Okada, got to the venue, and I sat there. And we're working. And after the first event, there was now the second, which was called Dinner with Brian Tracy, where you could ask, do Q&A. I just sat down there watching this man, watching this man. Now, after everything, Bishop Feb's wife, Reverend Lori Idahosa, told him just impromptu on the spot, said, sir, could you please just record a short video telling parents to send their kids over to Benson Idahosa University? And he was looking at her like this, like, okay, you mean now? Said, okay, yes. Said, okay. Are the cameras rolling? Everyone was surprised, okay, yes. No script, no preparation. He just looked and said, you ready? Okay. Hello, I'm Brian Tracy. And as you know, we all want our children to be leaders of the world. And one of the things that helps your children to become world leaders and global ambassadors is where you educate them. So if you want your children to be world leaders, send your children to Benson Idahosa University. Everybody started clapping, the cameraman, the crew. I was like, I said, this is why this guy is paid the big bucks. He has mastered this. And that day was my divorce from shyness. I said, I will figure this thing out. And every day, there's a friend of mine in church, Eddie. I borrowed his camcorder home. And every day I would record myself talking to the camera. Record myself. I'll watch the replay. I'm like, ah, man, you look a little awkward. And I'll put it back there. I'll do that. I'll just talk about nothing. I would record and I would do it every single day. Anyway, around that same period, so back to the events, then I said, okay, if you have any of Brian Tracy's books, you can come and he can sign your book and take a picture with you. I said, eh, picture with Brian Tracy? I didn't have a book, so I went to the book stand. There was someone selling Brian Tracy books there. I went to buy the cheapest one. I got the book, came to the table, he signed it. I took that picture of Brian Tracy. I took that picture, I posted it on social media. I wrote a blog article about it, put a picture there. Now, somebody in Lagos that does events saw the picture, and because I don't know what he saw in the picture, but he assumed from the picture that I did an event with Brian Tracy. I didn't know this until much later, but in the moment, he called and said that he's doing an event in Lagos with Social Media Week and he would like me to come and speak. I said, yeah, okay, cool, I'm coming. That was my first ever speaking opportunity in Lagos. That was my first ever. So I got to Lagos, I did the thing. While I was waiting to speak, this was in 2014 now, January 2014. While I was waiting for my turn to speak, I was on the chair there. I was shaking. You would never guess. Because I had never done it before. I had practiced in my bedroom, but not in front of people. I was shaking, but I was like, if I don't die after this thing, then I'll not die again. No. I will do this thing. I will do this thing. When it was my turn, I got up there. I was somehow able to play it off, and it was a fantastic presentation. After that, me and the organizer, we became very good friends. We're very good friends till today. One day, we're having lunch somewhere, and we were just casually talking about the event and other things, because we went on and did other events in Lagos, and, you know, we really grew very far in the event space. And we're like, I remember that event you did with Brian Tracy. And I was like, what? So like, yes, I passed too. I'm like, what events? That event you organized the branches in, I've been in me. I said, oh my goodness. I said, no, I was a volunteer. I couldn't even buy tickets to attend. I was a volunteer helping to tweet what was happening, right? But that was the start. And I realized once I got in, I was... Perception. But please, I didn't do it intentionally. Don't go and lie. This is what you go and lie. I'm just saying, unintentionally, I learned something about perception, right? And that's the thing about those of us that are not originally from a place like Lagos, right? One thing that Lagos teaches you is perception, branding. Everybody there knows how to talk big, right? So if you are new to the city, it can sometimes be a bit intimidating, right? If you look at other cities that are not Lagos, like Enugu, you know, people tend to show up as they are, right? So people are generally more genuine in these cities because they don't really see the need to. But when you get to Lagos, you don't know who is who because everybody is talking big. See, you're in this pocket, you have one card for one company. In this pocket, you have cards for another company, depending on what they're asking you to do. Are you into oil? You bring out the car that has oil. I am all things to all men. Importer, exporter. I'm like, what is going on here? They may not be the ones to do it too, but you always know a guy. I'm not saying you should do it too. I'm just saying that it taught me a lot about perception. Anyway, one of the things that would up perception is in you being confident with public scrutiny. Yes, look at me. When you can be the one, because when you're standing up here, you are taking a lot of risk, reputational risk, business risk. What if you say something stupid? What if you get canceled? What if you say you come off as incompetent and all that? How do you handle that shame? Yes, the biggest gladiators are willing to take that risk. And because we are willing to take that risk, we will accept all the reward that comes with being given all that attention. So a man like me who is very comfortable with attention, who is now very much in love with attention, you cannot compare your income to mine unless you are willing to take the kind of risks that I take. If you check, there's one video on my Instagram, down somewhere, where I had this speaking engagement in Brazil. And I was speaking, I had an interpreter, right? They gave me an interpreter to speak, to help me interpret what I was saying, because I knew some Portuguese, but not well enough to give presentations in Portuguese, right? So I was speaking English and she would interpret. But while I was in the green room waiting to come up, I wanted to engage the crowd in their language. So I started thinking, how do I engage the crowd? So I wrote some things on paper. I wrote, you are the light of the world and you are influential. And I asked my interpreter, I said, please, how do I say this in Portuguese? This was 5 minutes before I went up. And she now told me, how do I say you are the light of the world? She told me, how do I say you are, she told me, and I rehearsed it a couple times and I got it. Okay, cool. So when I got on stage and I told them to say after me, and I said it in Portuguese, they were jumping. If you check the highlights of that video, it's on my Instagram somewhere, you see the audience jumping and shouting. You wouldn't know why they were shouting. I spoke their language. Now, there's something I even mispronounced. Because I still have a very English brain. You have to change a bit if you're going to do Portuguese. So I pronounced it the English way. You know, so when they were saying it back to me, I was like, why are people not saying this incorrectly? But they were right. I was the one saying it wrong. You know, I didn't know about that. It was a year after the event. The organizers had sent me the recordings. But there was something about We That Speak. We don't like watching our replays. I don't know why. Is it just me? Not just me, yeah? Yeah. So I don't like watching my replays. So I didn't watch the replay of that event till 1 year later. And that because I wanted to pick a clip for some publicity for something. When I was watching, because by this time I had become much better in Portuguese. And I watched the replay. And I said, hey, I said this thing wrongly. No wonder they were saying the correct thing back to me. But I was now judging them like, why are you not saying this correctly? I'm the one. I just laughed it off. But that's a risk that I took. Thankfully, it turned out well. But these are the risks that you take. You have to be comfortable with public scrutiny. Yes, this is me. I'm the best man for the job. Right? When you look at the story of David and how he became king, it's fantastic that that is a Bible story. But you know, in real life, David will be forgotten. Because when the father brought out those seven sons, and Samuel just looked at the first one, fine hair, beard gang, broad-chested, and he said, this one, you look like a leader. And he moved to anoint him. In real life, that's the guy that will be king. It is important you put yourself out. I'm the guy. I'll take all the consequences for coming out. And I will take all the rewards for coming out as well. You've got to be comfortable with public scrutiny. Comfortable with it. Okay, let's quickly talk about skills of the new economy. And I'll close on that. Skills of the new economy. Let's talk about secondary school economics. All right? Secondary school economics. What did they tell us in secondary school were the factors of production? You remember them? Land, labor, capital, and entrepreneur. Land, labor, capital, and entrepreneur. You know, in the modern world, most people operate as laborers. Think about it. Land, labor. Most people that say they are entrepreneurs are just laborers. Why are they called factors of production? They are called factors of production because at the time, these are very old textbooks, but at the time, these are the factors necessary to produce the things that you could exchange for money. So the land is where maybe you plant your crops or you build your factories or you build a school or whatever. Then you need staff, labor. Then you need capital, all right? Sorry, I'm always saying poor Nigerians and all that, but it's the laborers of this world that like to Google in Nigeria how to start a business with zero capital. The captains of this world honor the four factors of production. We need capital. We cannot start with zero capital. Because we have land, labor, capital. You need capital. Whether you are going to bootstrap it, or you're going to take a loan, or you will take venture capital, or investment, or funding, you need capital. If you want to start with zero capital and somebody else is starting with capital, they are going to beat you. And then the last factor of production is who? Is you, the entrepreneur. And you, the entrepreneur, you need to be given a set of skills on how to wield the other three into productive activity. So you, the entrepreneur, you know how to use the land, how to drive the labor, how to properly use the capital, and then you make a profit. So what is it that you are doing, and how can you step out of the laborer category into the entrepreneur category? Because you are not an entrepreneur if you are not able to command capital. But commanding capital requires education. you are not an entrepreneur if you cannot command labor, hire people, leave that position, hire people so you can grow. And you are not an entrepreneur if you don't have a place to do that business. And today, in 2024, it doesn't have to be a physical place. It can be online. Yeah? When I ask the average Nigerian, where's your website? Most Nigerians don't say we don't have. They'll say we're working on it. How many of you are working on it? We're on it. Yeah? See, in today's day and age, you have to be Googleable. How many of you, when I first came up here, you heard the name John Obidi for the first time? What did you do? Who is this guy? That is human habits. This is how we behave. All right. Sometimes you might meet, not even maybe on the stage or anything, you might meet somebody maybe in a public place, you guys meet, and he says his name. And you'll be like, okay, one second, you head out to the restroom. They've Googled you. From what they see, they'll know how to engage when they come back. You know, I wish people could just deal with us based on our hearts. Right? I wish we didn't have to jump through all these hoops where people have to look at us from head to toe and then give us the respect they think that we are worth. On how we, I wish, but this is real life. I'm sorry. This is the modern world. You will be judged on how you appear online as well. So when you go right, and me, I didn't come to this game to play. All right? So if you go right now, go to Google now, type John Obidi. It's praise and worship. It's not accidental. You'll see articles about me in English and in Portuguese. All positive. Go to YouTube, type in John Obidi. Most of the videos you'll even see is not even from my own channel that I put out. It's from every other place, TV stations, radio stations. It's intentional. What does that tell you? When you want to become one of the highest paid people in whatever you are doing, no matter how small it looks, social media management, or if it's photography, videos, whatever it is, get on television. There's one thing that just clicks in people's minds when they see you on TV. I don't know what it is, but they just respect you more. The game is the game. They just respect you more. Get on TV, get on radio, and when you see it, put it out there, all right? Let me tell you one verse of scripture, all right, that pushed me when I was starting. And you all know the verse. Look for that verse that talks about you are the light of the world. All right? I think it starts with a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Or it talked, or it, there was one part of it that talked about you shouldn't put a candle under a bushel. Let's have a look at that verse. So you can ask yourself, what am I really doing? There's a song I hate very much, which people love, "This Little Light of Mine." Me, little light. No. I no go school for 4 years. So far to pass in the Nigerian system to come and do little light. No. Everybody will hear me. Your kids will be my biggest fans. Okay. Let me see 13. There's one sweet preamble. Okay, let me start from here. Okay, so it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." See, I take this as very literally. It's not just confession. Very literally. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith," that is how shall it be salted? "It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." This trodden underfoot and cast out. You guys remember back in physics class when we learned about what to do when the roads are icy? You remember? It was when the roads are icy, you know, your brakes can fail. So what do they do in those countries? they pour salt. Usually the salt that is worthless. You can't go for food. It's the most worthless salt they just throw on the road so that it can be break on the road. So that's what it's trying to say here. All right? Put it back up, please. So it says, if you have lost your ability to influence, all right? If you have lost your savor, wherewith shall it be salted? All right? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. That one is still a utility, right? But a lesser utility, okay? So when I ask you, are you the salt of the world? Are you the salt of the earth? Or are you the salt of Enugu? Or Abakaliki? Salt of where? The earth. Okay, next verse. You are the light of the world. Are you the light of your room, your village, your kitchen? Light of where? The world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be... Where's your website? See me, I grew up in church, so all this confession, I have the light in me. You show walk, you know. Because how will a man in Japan see your light? How? Now, that's one thing I love about us Christians is that we can talk big too, because we are taught confessions. Yeah? We are taking over, truly take over. Oh. Time is passing. You better truly take over. All right? Okay, let's put it back up. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a bucket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Next verse. Let your light so shine before who? Amen. Is it before God? Before who? Amen. Okay. And what do men look at? Okay. That they may see your good, your heart? No, your good intentions. But I'm a good person on the inside. Look at my heart. Eh? That they may see your good heart. That is, they may see the meekness of your soul. That they may see your, let me even say, righteousness. That has its place, but no. It said, they may see your good what? Your work. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good work. So when people say, you too, they show yourself. It is biblical to show yourself. Show yourself. Now, is after your light has shone before men and they see your good work, they have to see it, put it out there, don't be humble about it. That they may do what? That is when they will now glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorifying your Father in heaven is all the reward that is supposed to come to you from the work of your hands. But it first has to be seen. So he said, let your light so shine before men. Right now, I'm shining my light before men and women in man-to-man conference. Yeah? God doesn't need all those things to see your light. God can see your light. God made you. He doesn't need any paparazzi to see your light. But it's not God that you want to collect money for. Remember, the only money that can enter your pocket is the one that exists in another man's pocket. He will only part with it when he sees your light. That perception of value. And it says, wow, where has this person been all my life? He spoke so brilliantly. He sounds so confident. He has loads of testimonials. Please, sir, when is your next class? And that is where you stop chasing people and they start chasing you. Where you start truly living it. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. So today, start thinking about how you can truly be the light of the world. Not just by confessions. Where's your website? What's your social media? All right? The plenty sense. Some of you are very good at writing. Yes? Well, I've met some Nigerians who love to write. But the problem is that it's only you and your family that know that you can write. Eh? Some of you are very funny, but it's only your family that knows that you are funny. How many more years do you think we have to live on this earth? How many more years? Why are we playing? How many? Let it shine. So you've got to learn how to let it shine in this new economy. Number one, Facebook ads. Everybody must know how to run a Facebook ad. It's not for digital marketers. Do you want to be powerless in this world? Do you want to be powerless? Why are you playing? Villagers versus rainmakers. You see, when every new social media platform launches, there are two people. Always two people. The rainmakers and the villagers. The villagers quickly go and create the social media handle and start posting. But the rainmakers know that, wait. When the villagers are posting, how is it translating to income for Facebook? Oh, Facebook shows them ads. And because it's showing them ads, okay, so what? Oh, somebody is serving those ads through Facebook and paying Facebook to run those ads. Okay, why is this person so willing to pay Facebook for these ads? Could it be that they are making a lot of money by running ads? So what the rainmakers do is that when Facebook launches us as a platform, they don't even start posting. They go and learn how to use the advertising product. So what poor people do, just open their Twitter, open their Instagram, always loud and talking. See, my opinion about this thing is that my opinion, it's your broke opinion. Who cares about your broke opinion? Who, nobody cares. You don't have any influence. You are nobody. Keep quiet. Nobody cares. But that's okay. People are still going to do what they're going to do. So when they go on there, they rant. The rainmakers are watching. Okay. They are always monitoring some metrics like daily active users. They are watching how many, what's the activity? And they're on the other end, running ads and buying that attention. I told you, four currencies of life: money, energy, attention, time. When all these clueless people are giving their attention to this thing, they know that attention is worth money and they're willing to pay for it. So they pay Facebook for ads so that while people are there ranting, they can see these ads and get seduced by them and perhaps part with their money. That is okay. I have no quarrel with the dynamic, but I side with the rainmakers and I learn how to serve those ads. And that's how I will make money. That's how we make money. You want to learn how to make money, to shine your light, to become famous, you must learn how to run those ads. Listen, when you read scriptures that say things like the riches of the Gentiles are yours, do you know what I see? Do you know what I see? We look at the four currencies of life: money, energy, attention, time. You can translate this to mean that the attention of the Gentiles are what? The energy of the Gentiles are what? The time of the Gentiles are what? How do you get their attention? Social media. Without social media, you wouldn't know me today. Every day I jubilate that, God, I was born in this time. If I wasn't born in this time and era, I don't know what I would have done for a living. But I joke sometimes, maybe Dibia. Because I cannot farm. Let me be the DB that will tell you why it says. Our elders say, then you go and bring chicken for me. Yeah? The energy, the attention. But how do you get attention? Facebook ads. TikTok has come out. And you want to TikTok and post TikToks. What we, the rainmakers, do is learn how does the TikTok advertising platform work. So while everybody is talking and ranting and making noise, I am running ads to all those people, all right? And I've done that for so many years. That today, all right? Today, I can just say, you know what? I want to hold an event in 3 days. And I just go to my computer, press a few buttons, send an email to my email list. It's going to be full. That is power that is available to everybody. Just learn the technology. If you go to YouTube today, it is for free. You can just learn how do I run Facebook ads. The thing I said I was going to give you guys tomorrow, it also contains tutorials on how to run ads on Facebook, on Twitter, and some of these other platforms. So you guys will get that in more detail, all right? We have to close right now. I could go on and on. We have another session tomorrow. But I would like us to take a confession together that says, simple, the same thing I told the guys in Brazil. I am the light of the world. But say it with better meaning this time. Say it together, all right? I am. Again. One more time. Thank you very much. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.